You will take your Bibles and turn with me to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And this morning we'll be looking at the last verse of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 24. The title of the Sunday school lesson this morning is Love of Christ's Person. The love of Christ's person. Let's read our text here in verse 24. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Paul here in the conclusion of this letter to Ephesians, we've been studying this for a year now. We've been going through the book of Ephesians. We've made it to the last verse of the last chapter. And Paul in this last verse concludes this chapter, this book in the same manner he began this book. Grace. Grace. Look at that in chapter 1 and verse 2 of Ephesians. Paul says this to the believers in Ephesus, grace be to you. Grace. He bestows the benediction of them, of grace to them. He bids them the blessing of divine unmerited favor from the sovereign hand and will of God. Now, most of you have noticed that in some gospel churches there are differences, aren't there? We have churches that are small and we have churches that are large, and yet when the preachers stand up and preach the gospel, they preach the same message. You have two sovereign grace pastors, two pastors who love the doctrines of grace, and yet one church is maybe larger than the other. And one church may be more spiritual than the other. You may see a church that's really zealous for the gospel, and you may see some churches that are kind of hanging on the fringe. Why is that? If both pastors are faithful to preach the gospel of God's sovereign grace, why the differences in all the churches? Grace, my friends. Grace. God sheds His grace on us at His own time and leisure. It is His good pleasure that we are who we are. I pray for God's special grace upon us. Any differences in the church, and like I said, size of the church doesn't really matter, because we know that some churches may be large, but they're dead. So it doesn't really matter. The only thing that matters is God's grace. Jesus Christ, our Lord, in Revelation, we read of Him walking among the candlesticks. He walks in among His churches. Every time the gospel of God's grace is preached, every time Christ is exalted, He is walking in the middle of His churches. He's here with us today. We believe in a risen Lord. We believe in a risen sovereign Christ that walks among His churches. And you know what He does to us? As His church, He bestows His grace upon us as He wills. As He wills. Grace. Now this grace that Paul is talking about is not saving grace. It's not to be saved because he is talking to believers in Christ already. Yet we as believers, the only reason that we are still believing is because of grace. The only reason we are still believing and coming and worshiping and longing to love Christ is because of grace. Grace. It's all of grace. Do you need grace? Do you need the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? I do. When I was asleep, I needed the grace of Christ. When I woke up, I needed the grace of Christ. And when I'm standing here before you preaching the gospel, I need the grace of Christ. And you know what? You need the grace of Christ to hear. Because I could preach a message, and if you say, well, I didn't get nothing out of that, maybe it was me. Then again, maybe. You need grace. I need grace. We all need it. It's something we need every day. This is a good request, isn't it? Grace unto you. Grace from our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is talking about spiritual fruits of grace. What are the fruits of grace mentioned, as I mentioned in my prayer? The fruits of the Spirit. This is love, joy, peace, temperance, meekness, faith, long-suffering. These are graces. These are graces. We don't have faith because of anything in us. We have faith because of the grace of God. We have faith and we have love for Christ because of the grace of God. I long for these blessings of grace to be upon you and me here in this place. May God shed His grace upon us. Pour out His Spirit upon us. I read a booklet, The Greatest Need of the Church, and the Spirit of God was His answer. The Spirit of God. We need the Spirit of God to bless us. We need the Spirit of God to bestow the blessings of grace upon us. We need those blessings. We must have them. Therefore, Paul says, I pray for them for you. I pray for them that God would give you the blessings of His grace. His blessings that we might be faithful to Him in prayer, in study, and in worship, and faithful to Him in love. In love. Because look at our text. Paul says, grace be unto them, to all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you love Him? I know when I mention His name, many of you light up. It's love. It's love. Do you love Him? This love is a grace. You that love the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you. Grace, God's grace and mercy be on you. May He pour out His Spirit of love upon us, who once were saved by God's grace, who came from a carnal mind and heart and enmity against God and against His Christ. That's where we came from, wasn't it? We came from a heart like that. We came from a heart that hated Christ, that longed nothing more than to dethrone our God. We wanted to set in place our own God. We had a God of our imagination. We wanted Him up there. Until one day, grace came. And when God and grace came, He gave us a heart, a new heart. And that heart that you have now that loves the Lord Jesus Christ, that heart is a heart given by grace. That's a heart given by the Lord Jesus Christ, by His Spirit. We once loathed Christ because we were blind to His beauty. You realize that? We were once blind to His beauty. What does it say in Isaiah chapter 53? It says, He had no form or comeliness that we should desire Him. Isn't that right? Before we came to Christ, before by the grace of God we believed on Christ, we saw Christ as of no value. We saw Him of no value. There was no beauty in Him that we should desire Him. We esteemed Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. All we knew about Him. We knew when we were brought to church and the preacher preached of God's grace, and you saw the preacher from the Scriptures, you saw the joy in his heart when he mentioned Christ, and then we had no interest. None. But then, when we heard the gospel of God's grace, we saw something different in Christ, didn't we? We saw something different in Him that we didn't see before. We, by the grace of God, were given faith to see the Lord Jesus Christ was not stricken and smitten for His own sin. Oh, but He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we were healed. In that we see the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't He beautiful? Isn't the marks in His hands beautiful? Aren't the marks in His feet glorious? Isn't the hole in His side most precious? It is to me. It is to me. Because He was wounded for me. Wounded for me. Dying for me. Pleading for me. And the eyes of our understanding being opened, we now see the Lord Jesus Christ with eyes of love. And to us, His wounds are altogether lovely. Like it says in Song of Solomon 5, verse 2, His mouth is most sweet, yea, He is altogether lovely. Altogether lovely. Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7, says, Unto you therefore that believe, He is what? He is precious. Is there anything of more value to you than Christ? Is there anything more precious in all the world than Christ? Not to us that have been saved by His blood and righteousness. Not to us who have seen Him. Not to us that have seen Him. The rest of the world, He is a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. When the lost hear of the sovereign Christ, who is made the head of the corner, King over all flesh, and is moving all things after the counsel of His own will, saving whom He will, this is an offense. This is offensive to the world. This Christ whom we see as sovereign and love Him, this is offensive. Tell somebody about it. See what happens. Tell someone that God saved you by His grace and His sovereign grace and see what they say. This is an offense to them. But unto us, it's precious. His person is precious. His character is precious. His attributes are precious. His providences are precious. Everything He does is good. Is good and right. Gill said this, Christ Jesus is our object of love. And a lovely object He is. And a lovely object He is. I want to deal with one thing. I had a whole bunch of things. But I've got like 10 minutes. I'm going to give you just one thing. And this thing, you can either step your ankles in it and kind of splash around in it, or you can go out and drown in it. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to see the loveliness of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know some of you that are more mature in the faith, you understand that this would, this in the volumes could not be written. To understand the person of Christ. Look now by the eye of faith and see this lovely person, Jesus Christ. Do you know that there is none like Him anywhere? He is altogether in a class all by Himself. Think about it. Even in the Godhead, even in the deity, the Trinity of our God, He stands in uniqueness. He stands in uniqueness. He alone is the God-man. The God-man. He is one of a kind. He is one of a kind. Go to Colossians chapter 2. Flip over there a couple of pages. Colossians chapter 2 and verses 2 and 3. Colossians 2, verse 2 and 3. Scripture says that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Would you like full assurance today? Do you like that? When the Lord God, by His grace, gives us fullness of assurance. You know where that's found? In the person of Christ. If you do not see the person of Christ, you cannot see the full assurance of our salvation. For it's in the person of Christ that all the knowledge of salvation, all of the wisdom of salvation is found. It's found in His person. It's found in Him. And Him alone. None like Him. There's none like Him. He's altogether different. This same Jesus is none other than the Son of God. The second person of the Blessed Trinity. And as such, He
is worthy of all praise, honor, and glory for being such a person. Just His person demands praise. Just His person demands praise. What is going to be sung at the end of the ages? Thou art worthy to receive glory and honor and blessing forever and ever. Amen. That's the song of the ages, and it is sung to this person, Jesus Christ the Lord. John, 1 John 5:7 reveals about His person, there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, here He is, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Yet this blessed revelation of the person of the Godhead is manifest only in Christ. To understand the Trinity, we must look at Christ. You must. To see it, you must look at Christ. For He alone is the visible image of the invisible God. He alone is the visible image of the invisible God. Paul says in Colossians 2:9, "For in Him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily." John 1:18 says, "No man hath seen the Father at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, hath declared Him." See, we can't know God the Father or the Spirit save through Christ. We can't know those. No man can know them save through the person of Christ. If you don't know Christ, you definitely don't know the Father. And you've not been touched by the Spirit of God if you don't know Christ. He is the mediator between us and God. It's how we can know God. You want to know God? You can only know Him through the person of Christ. Through the blood and righteousness of this dear one. None of us could have ever known God but through the person of Christ. Robert Hawker says this, "As His person is the only visible Jehovah, so His obedience the only means of recovery from the Adam fall and transgression." Acts 4:12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name." There's none other person. There's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. There's none other. There's only one. If you were to be saved, if you are to know God, it is only through this person. This lovely person. This precious person. Jesus Christ. He is God blessed forever. You look at Christ, you see God. That's it. You see God in Christ. He is the Son of the living God, equal with the Father and the Spirit, but He is not like that. He is not like a God. He is the God, eternal and creator of all things. That's who Jesus is. We're not dealing with a prophet that is just a man. We are dealing with the God. There is no other God. Jesus Christ Himself is God. Isn't that precious? It is if you know Him. You know Him. You know God. And my friends, what's more important than that is He knows you. He knows you. And He has redeemed you. And second of all, He is man. He is God. But yet He is man of very man. He is man of very man. You know that first scripture in 1 Timothy 3:16, "Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." There was a Unitarian pastor. They don't believe in the Trinity of God. He had a brother who was a Baptist pastor. And he asked his brother, he said, "Would you come visit and preach for me? I have to be gone and I need somebody to fill in for me. But I don't want you to preach anything controversial. Don't preach anything that's going to cause controversy." And his brother said, "Sure." And he preached from this text, "Without controversy." Without controversy, without question. This is not something to be debated. I wasted about 30 minutes the other day watching a debate. That's about the most senseless thing in all of the world to debate. This is without controversy. I'm not debating this. God said it without controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Wow. Wow. God united Himself with flesh. He took upon Him not the form of angels, but of the seed of Abraham. As it was prophesied, He should be born of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. This is the only way. There was no other way. There was no other way for Him to redeem us. It was by man that we lost righteousness. It must be by man that we gain righteousness. It was man that transgressed against God. It must be man that suffers under the weight of God's justice. It must be so. Therefore, God said, I'll do it. I'll take it. And He took upon Himself the form of a man. He felt the hurts and He felt the pains of human life. There was nothing He escaped. The ridicule, the pain, the hurt. If you've ever been hurt, Him more. If you've ever been betrayed, no one more betrayed than He was. Even the people that loved Him left Him. And He suffered and died alone. Even God the Father forsook Him. How could this be unless He became man? He became man so that we might have the righteousness of God through His person. The more I see the person of Christ, the more in love with Him I become. The beauty of the God-man gives us assurance and peace that the God who purposed our salvation in eternity is also the same God that accomplished our salvation in time. He who demanded perfection provided perfection. Isn't that wonderful? He that demanded justice bore under His own justice so that we might go free. Is there anything greater than that? Is there anything more lovely to the person than the person of Jesus Christ? Not to us that know Him. There's no one. I tell you, I love my children, and I love them dearly with all my heart, but there is no one like Him. I love Him because He first loved me and gave Himself a ransom for me. Isn't He lovely? I pray the Lord bless this to us.